Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much, praise team. Thank you so much, worship band. God bless you. Thank you so much. Please take your seats, and what a wonderful day it is to be in the house of the Lord. Grace and peace from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We come here today to celebrate a risen Savior. Amen?
Amen.
And we come here today in the name of the Lord. And we have so many of our folks that have been going through some very difficult times. We have a friend of my wife's, Becky and her husband Brian, going through a very difficult time in their lives. But I am so warmed and so blessed and so honored that the Lord has strengthened our brother in Christ, Francis, and allowed Francis to be in service with us today. Welcome, brother. So good to see you here this morning. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So praise God. We continue today in our Living a Life of Significance message with part two. Today's message is called Commanded. If you have the Word of God all over the sanctuary, whether in digital or printed format, please raise it up over your head. Let's see the Word of God all over the sanctuary. Amen. All right. And if you need a Bible and you don't have one on your phone, but please raise your hand and our ushers will bring it to you. Please turn in the Word of God to Joshua chapter 1. We will be in verses 9 through 11 today. Verses 9 through 11. Well, it's been quite a week, amen?
Amen?
You know, we've gotten through the election, and it's so good to see how well we are all getting along together. Yeah, I know. You know, sometimes I think we need somebody to attack us just so that we get better with each other, amen? Because for some reason, Americans, we just seem to be this contentious, striving for excellence and to be first mentality country. And if we don't have somebody outside of our borders to fight, we'll just pick a fight with each other. But it is so good to be in a country where, in spite of whatever happens, we know that in our Constitution, in our Declaration of Independence, in our Pledge of Allegiance, that we are one nation under God.
Amen.
And that is so good to see. Amen?
Amen.
So, let's look at the passages for today. Reading from the Word of God, if you're there, please say amen.
Amen.
Now, we know that our battle cry for this year is what? The battle is the Lord's. And reading from the Word of God, Joshua chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves. For within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know? That the Lord says, do not be of good courage. Do not fear, for I am with you. You know, I've looked throughout the Scripture, from the front of my Bible to the back of my Bible, and I have never seen anyone that cried out to the Lord for salvation and for help and for comfort and did not receive it. I defy you to find that when one of God's people cried out to Him, that He did not turn and incline His head and His heart toward them so that He would hear their pleas. But let's just review for a moment. As we read this, as we continue our journey, God has brought the Jewish people out of Egypt, the Hebrews, which is a picture. Let me tell you what this is a picture of. It is a picture of our redemption by the blood of the Lamb of God. It's a picture of the salvation journey for the Christians. And then God brought them through a long wilderness journey, the length of which typifies the carnal or the immature Christian. You know, some of us get saved and we think, okay, I'm in, that's good. But God has so much more planned for us. And He wants you to reach out and grab the full measure of what He has planned for your life. So many Christians go up to the water of life. If you could picture the water of life as a giant crystal clear lake. And this water of life that is spoken about in Scripture, imagine it perfectly clear, refreshing, strengthening to our hearts and our souls. And so many Christians walk up and dip their toe in it, say, that's nice, and they go on their way. That's not how I live. That's not how I operate. I want to do a cannonball in it. I want to be that guy that is inappropriate and does a cannonball into the baptismal. I want to be that guy when people say he is over the top in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is over the top in love with the Lord. He is over the top in calling upon the power of the Holy Spirit. No matter how nervous that makes some people in some Baptist churches. He is over the top in love with his Lord. And so we see that that typifies that long journey, the long journey that some Christians go through before they begin to mature. And now we see them here in Joshua coming to the promised land, coming to the land of Canaan, which represents the full Christian life. The full Christian life in service to the Lord, claiming the things that God has promised us. Claiming those things which God wants us to have. In other words, putting your spiritual gifts into work. If you are gifted with the gift of prayer, then you are to pray. If you are gifted with the gift of greeting, then greet people in the name of the Lord. If you are gifted with the gift of teaching or preaching or evangelizing, do that. The Lord has put here in Living Hope Church exactly the people that He needs to fulfill His mission here in Coral Springs, Florida. Grab it with all of your heart. Grab it with all of your strength. Fear not. Don't be dismayed, for the Lord is with you. Now, there are all three types of people here today, sitting right here in this sanctuary, watching on the internet, watching a DVD somewhere down the road. Some of you are still in Egypt. In other words, you've never been saved. You've never been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we want to tell you something, that we are not here to trick you at all. We're not here to try to twist words to play on your emotions. We're not here to tell you anything other than the truth, which is that Jesus Christ is Lord. And He wants you to be saved. God is not angry at you. God loves you. God hates our sin. But He loves you. And He wants none should be lost. He wants all to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And friends, I want you to know that if you are not saved, that is the prayer of Living Hope Church. When we go to our invitation, some of us think it's just part of the ceremony. Okay, came to church, I sang my two songs, we had the welcome, we sang our three songs, pastor preached his message, he had a few good lines in there today for a change. We got to the invitation. Check, 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 check. No. Our whole purpose is to glorify God. And we pray, and I want you to know that if you have never asked Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, when we come to that invitation section of our message today, every Christian in here will be praying for you. We don't want to go to heaven without you. We want to get to heaven and see our neighbors in heaven with us. We want to see our co-workers in heaven with us. We want to see the rude person that cut us off on I-95 in heaven with us. Even though I don't always react properly in that case. As I said last week, you know, when somebody cuts me off on the interstate, it's hard to be gracious sometimes. But as my wife has told me so many times, what's down in the well tends to come up in the bucket. And so I need to keep an eye on that. Amen? And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So there's three types of people here today. One are people that are still in Egypt. They've never been saved, never been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The second type of person is some of you that are saved, but you're still in the wilderness. And you may be here today visiting from out of town. Or you may be watching on the internet and you didn't go to your church service today. I want to tell you, you should be in your church. You should be in your church service today. But if you are in the wilderness, and we're going to talk about this in a few moments, then you need to make sure you know that if you are saved, you belong in the house of God on the Lord's day. Amen. And if you have issues with your pastor, then you need to go talk to your pastor. You need to go talk to your leadership team and say, listen, what you're saying I do not agree with, and here's why I don't agree with it. It's not biblical. You know, sometimes we don't always hear what we want to hear. Amen? Sometimes what's in here can be awfully tough, but it's the Word of God. You know, I've looked in here, there's a few things I don't always like, and I've looked all through my Bible for loopholes to certain things, but there are none because the Bible says, thus saith the Lord. And so if you have something with your pastor because he's doing something unbiblical, you need to confront them over that. And how do you know if it's unbiblical? Because you come to church. You have your Bible open in front of you. And the Sunday morning is not the one and only time that you open your Bible during the week. You need your word. Need the Word of God every single day, friends. You need to feast upon the Word of God. So some of you are still in the wilderness. You're saved, but you are not enjoying your life as a Christian. In other words, you're heading to heaven second class. You're in the coach section of Southwest Airlines. Anybody ever been in there? How many people my size have ever been in the coach part of Southwest Airlines? They can't put three guys like me in a row in the same seats. It can't happen. It's because I have to be a fully large, man-sized man, which I'm working on, by the way. But finally, some of you, the third type of person, you've left Egypt. You've stopped wandering around in the wilderness, and you've come to the promised land as conquerors. Conquerors in the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, as Paul says, you are more than conquerors. Never forget, it is the commandment of God for you to possess what He has given you. And that's what we're going to be looking at again today. Look at this. Look at verse 11 one more time. If you're there, please say amen. The last part of that, the last few lines, it says, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. Who has given you those things? But the Lord your God. The promised land, listen friends, is a gift from God. It is a gift for you in your life. It's your gift and it's our duty as God's people to receive what God has already given us. How do we know what God has already given us? By reading in the Word of God what we have been given. Ladies, if you remember your study here a year or so ago, we are already inheritors of heaven. All that the Son has, the Father has given unto us. We are the inheritors of heaven. So be bold about it. Be bold about asking for those things that the Father has given you. You know, and even though God has already given us His promises, we are to fight for them. We are to declare them. And you know, there's a huge difference to fight for something and to take possession of it in our own power than it is to fight for something that is already ours. Now think about that for a moment. Please understand that you are fighting a battle of life that you have already won in Jesus Christ. Amen. You are already the victor. Imagine it this way. Suppose a general told some soldiers, I want you to load up on the ships. I want you to get in your airplanes, all you skydivers. Special ops guys, I want you to get in the advanced airplanes. Let's form the bombers. Let's get together all of the military might that we have because we're going to go back and we're going to invade Pompano Beach and take it back for ourselves. You say, what? That already belongs to us. And see, sometimes we forget that. We forget what we already have is that God has given us. And God's people said, amen? Today I have 3 points. First point, please write this down in your notes. We are commanded to prepare. Commanded to prepare. Look at verse 11. I'm going to read verse 11 one more time. If you're there, please say amen. Pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourself, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan. Within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan. Within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan. To go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. But look up at verse 10. It says, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people. Now listen to me. Look at the scene. Picture this in your mind. The people of Israel right there. They're getting ready to cross the Jordan River to go into the promised land. Have you ever asked yourself, what was the river like? What was that like? You know, we know the story. We'll get to that in a few weeks where the priest came forward. They said, send for the preachers. The priest came forward and set foot in the Jordan and the water dried up. But what was the river like that in those days? In your Bibles, just flip over a page to Joshua chapter 3 and verse 15. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 15. If you're there, please say amen. And as those who bore the ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the ark dipped in the edge of the water. Isn't it interesting that God does His miracle once you step out in faith? For the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of the harvest. What was that river like? Overflowing. Flooded. Overflowing its banks. When the overflows its banks, it picks up all kind of trash, all kind of debris, and that's sweeping down the river. And Joshua tells the officers to go tell the people, prepare yourself with provisions, for in 3 days we are crossing that river. I'm sure a few people, it doesn't, you know, this is one of those places where you wonder what the other side of the conversation was. You wonder. You see, the Hebrews are to cross the overflowing river. Now, what would you think that Joshua would say as the great general that he is? Maybe he would say, prepare yourselves, get ready. In 3 days, we're going to build a bridge. Or maybe he'd have said, prepare yourselves. In 3 days, we're starting construction on the boats to cross, or the rafts to cross this. Nope. He says, prepare provisions. In other words, prepare bread. Here's what he's actually saying to them, people of God. Before you try to cross this river, this overflowing river, before we get ready to cross to take possession of what God has already given us, before we do this in power and in courage because we know the Lord is with us, here's what you need to do before you go into battle. You need proper nourishment. You need proper nourishment. You know, a saying goes, an army travels on its stomach. As a former soldier for 8 years, I can promise you that is true. An army does travel on its stomach. I do the same thing when I work in my yard. I ask that the mess hall prepare me some provisions before I go leave the house to do battle with those tall hedges in my backyard. I want you folks to know that I got one of those really nice hedge trimmers now that you can go up and it's articulating, meaning you can lay the top over. So ladies, those 3 times I fell off the ladder in the last 2 years, that's not going to happen anymore. And all the ladies said, amen. Amen. Note, he says, prepare provisions. You need proper nourishment. Now, for 40 years, the Israelites have been in the desert, and they've been on a desert diet. 3 meals a day. 7 times a week. 52 times a year. For 40 years, they had the same exact meal. What's it called, folks? Manna. Now listen, manna. I know. God sent it. God has provided them with the manna. You know, today we seem to like to think of manna as a cross between a porterhouse steak and strawberry shortcake. That's how we look at it. But it was actually a thin, coarse, kind of dry wafer. So, well, it was a little strange. It was a little weird. In fact, it got its name from manna when the people picked it up in Exodus chapter 16 and verse 15. Do I have that slide? I do not. Well, I'm going to read it to you anyway. Exodus chapter 16 and verse 15, reading from the Word of God. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat." That word, what is it, is the word manna. It is the word manna. Manna, and in the Bible, it's actually written M-A-N. In other words, it's a little weird, it's a little strange, and it's written or spelled M-A-N. Ladies, try not to look to the guy to your left and right. I know that we can be a little strange, we can be a little weird. Meaning, what is it? Now listen, my wife is an amazing cook. If you've eaten in my house, you know that. You know, all the time people say, "Well, Pastor Larry, if you backed off a little bit, you could lose that weight." And I say, "Sure." When we have fellowships, what is the most often question I get? What did Miss Ruth Ann make? I live with that. All right? But listen, here's what I can tell you. Not once in 45 years have I ever looked down at my plate and said, what is it? Not once. And they had to eat, what is it, every day. What was manna like? Write these passages in your side margins. Numbers chapter 11, verse 8. Numbers chapter 11, verse 8 says it tasted like pastry prepared in oil. Fried bread. Now, back in Louisiana, we have big fish fries. Oh, yeah. And they get these big pots and they fill them with oil. And then we deep fry fish fillets. And then when the fish are done, we take that out and we dump in the French fries or onion rings in big baskets, like 20 pounds of this stuff at a time. Then we take that out. Then we take, you know those old Pillsbury biscuits? The little cheap ones? We flatten those down, cut them in half and throw them in that oil. Oh, that's good. Oh, that's good. I can't have that anymore. But that's good. But you know, as good as that is, not for 40 years. Nobody wanted to eat that for 40 years. So Numbers 11, verse 8 says it tasted like pastry prepared in oil. In Scripture, oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. The anointing of the oil of the Holy Spirit. Exodus 16:31. This is another passage. Exodus 16:31 tells us that it tasted like wafers prepared with honey. Honey represents the promised land, a land of milk and honey. Amen? Think of it like a really, really, really good protein bar that doesn't taste like a bale of hay. That's what manna was like. But if you look up at the screen, look at Numbers chapter 11, verses 4 through 6. Now the mixed multitude, after a while, this is after they've been eating manna for a while, who were among them yielded to intense craving. You know, when you eat the same thing over and over and over, you get an intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. I don't understand that last part. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. They were sick and tired of manna. You see, the problem with the manna is that it sustained them, but it did not satisfy them. It didn't answer those cravings that we all have. In other words, for them, God's provision in the middle of a desert wilderness was not exciting. They had lost sight of that. They were bored. And friends, the worst enemy of Christianity is a bored Christian. The worst enemy of Christianity is a Christian that comes and won't sing praises to his God. The worst enemy of Christianity is a mean-spirited Christian that goes and simply declares to people that they're going to go and burn in hell and never tell them that God's plan is that none should be lost. That they extend that message with grace and with mercy. There are Christians today who are bored with church. But the reason that they're bored is that they've been on the basics too long. Anybody would get bored with the basics. Travel through the desert for 40 years. You're in the basics. And Joshua is saying it's a time for a change of diet. It's time to bulk up and get moving. It's time to call upon the power of the things that you need. In other words, he's saying, let's go, Israel, build and make some bread. Build your provisions. Why? Because in Scripture, what is bread a symbol of? It is a symbol of the Word of God. Bread is a symbol of the Word of God. The Word of God sustains us. The Word of God strengthens us. The Word of God prepares us for life. The Word of God gives us the answers we need when we're going through life and difficult things and things happen, and there is no worldly answer for it. That's what the Word of God does. And to grow as Christians, we need to feast on the Word of God. You need to read your Bibles. That's the only way I can put it. You need to read the Word of God. That way when you visit here and Pastor Larry is up here preaching and he says something that seems a little strange, you know it because you have feasted on the Word of God. When you go out of town and you're on vacation, but even on vacation on Sunday morning or Wednesday night, you find your way to a local service to worship God. You know if they're preaching true doctrine because you have feasted upon the Word of God. It's time to bulk up, friends. It's time to be nourished. And I'm not talking about Bible study 101, but I'm talking about deep study. I'm talking about getting into the deep things of the Word of God. Letting the Word of God nourish you and wash over you and strengthen you. And as hard as it is to believe, I know you guys are going to be shocked by this. I don't deliver the most wonderful sermon you've ever heard week in and week out. Now, I know that comes as a complete shock here. Boy, it got quiet in here. Possibly there are times that you tune me out. Now, some of that's on me. It is. Some of that is on me. In other words, I misread the crowd. I misread how God wanted me to deliver that message. I do the best job I possibly can in declaring the truth of the Word of God. But there's some days I could do better. And that's on me. But some of it's on you too. Some of it's on the people of God. Because God's Word is how God gives us our instructions. So try this once in a while. When pastor is up here and he's firing on 4 cylinders out of 8, and you've read the Word of God, and you've been sustained by the bread of God, and I'm boring, then just say to yourself, Lord, pastor needs a little help this morning. Amen. Boy, I got an amen. Pastor needs a little help this morning. Our prayer team gathers over there to pray for the service each and every Sunday morning and lifts up the pastor or whoever's speaking so that the Word of God will be declared to God's people. And so you say, Pastor needs a little help this morning. Lord, I know you gave him the Word to teach, but he's struggling. So Lord, what do you want me to know? I'm looking at the same words that you gave him to teach. Lord, what is it you would have me to know this day? How can I take your bread, your nourishment? How can I take that and prepare and strengthen and nourish myself to be an encouragement, to be a part of the solution, to encourage my pastor, to lift my pastor up? How do I do that? Amen, church? That's a good prayer. That's a good thing to do. So step one, we are commanded to prepare. How do we prepare? We prepare with preparation of the Word of God. Second, we are commanded to be in anticipation or to anticipate. It says, look at this. After it says, in verse 11, prepare provisions for yourselves. For within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to take possession. Now, what is the significance of 3 days? Well, 3 days the Lord Jesus Christ was in the grave. 3 days Jonah was in the belly of the whale. 3 days Abraham and Isaac were on the mountain. The image is that the people of God here traveling through the wilderness in 3 days will be made new, will be made whole, will be resurrected into the promised land from the bondage that they had been in. And it's going to happen in 3 days. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. See, I love it when the Lord does that. Say, in 3 days you're getting this. Now, I don't want to know everything. Show of hands here. Think of all the things that have happened to you in your life the last 20 years. Would you have really wanted the Lord to let you know that was coming? Absolutely not. But what I do know is coming is God's promises. Amen. And God is faithful. And God is true. Why am I heading in this direction? Look on the screen at Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. What does it say? The Apostle Paul writing, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. Don't miss what I am about to say. You are reconciled to God by the death of Christ, but you are saved by the life of Christ. Hallelujah. That's a good place for an amen. Thank you so much. And the greatest demonstration of the power of God was not the creation of the world. The greatest creation of the power, the psalmist says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The Bible says that He created the heavens with the tips of His fingers. That the greatest power of God was not in the creation of the angels and the creation and the stars and the galaxies and the earth and all the animals and all the things on the earth. That was not the demonstration of the greatest of the power of God. The greatest demonstration of the power of God was in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the grave. Hallelujah. Give Him praise in His house. In Philippians, what God is saying, all the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, all the power that raised Christ from the grave is available to the redeemed of God.
Amen.
All of the power that raised Christ from the grave is available to Larry Brister. All the power that raised Christ from the grave is available to Brother Francis. All the power that raised Christ from the grave is available to our friend Brian. All of the power that raised Christ from the grave is available to the redeemed of God. If you are the redeemed of God, you have forgotten who you are. You have the power. You see, at the cross, Jesus Christ gave Himself for me. But in the resurrection of Christ, He gives Himself to me. The first one He did for me. The second one He did straight to me. Friends, there is power in the blood of Jesus. There is power in the blood of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. And despite all of our differences in this country, I was so encouraged by how many times the name of the Lord Jesus Christ was invoked in the inauguration this time. I was so empowered by that. Listen, friends. I was asked one time to go preach or to go share in a certain place. And it was a totally secular area. It was a place where nobody knew the Lord. And I was asked afterwards by a friend of mine, why would you go to that place? I said, because Satan himself has invited me to preach in hell. There is power in the name of Jesus. And there is no one beyond redemption. No one. I stand here as living proof of that. The same Jesus that died for me. And the principle of Canaan is in the living, in the power of the resurrection, since the Christ in me is the full hope of His glory and His power. The Christ that is in me is the full hope of His glory and His power. The Christ that is in you is the full hope of His glory and His power. So when you stand strong, you are showing the power and the glory and the hope of Christ. When you share the gospel, you are showing the power and the glory and the hope of Jesus Christ. When you are kind to those who are unkind to you, you are showing power of the glory and the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am reconciled by His death if I receive Jesus Christ as Lord. I'm reconciled by death, but I am saved by the power of His life. Oh, man. One day we're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great day that will be. Amen. One day we will see the face of God. Living Hope Church, don't miss this. It is the Christ in me. It is the Christ in you that displays God's power. That is the full measure of the power of God, is what is reflected in you. Do you believe what God has said? Then when you live like that, the full power of the power of God and the name of Jesus and the hope of the heavens is shown to the world. We come out of Egypt by His death. We all have a period in the wilderness. But then after 3 days in the grave, we all entered Canaan in His resurrection power. And we lived the full, powerful, enabled life of the Christian, fully committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Son of God that gave Himself for me, the Son of God who rose from the grave to live in me. Hallelujah! First, we see that we are commanded to prepare. Second, we are commanded for anticipation or to anticipate. Third, we are commanded to separate, and don't put your Bibles away yet. Third, we are commanded to separate. I'm going to read quickly through verses 12 to 15. If you're there in your Bibles, please say amen. Oh, good. I see we got part of the Hebrew phone book here. And to the Reubenites and the Gadites and half the tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God has given you rest and is giving you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren armed, all you mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord has given your brethren rest, as He gave you, and they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possessions and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sunrise. Picture this. I'm gonna summarize this a bit in the interest of time. They had been traveling and they had stopped on the east side of Jordan. The promised land is on the west side of the Jordan. That's where they're going to promise to cross over. And as they traveled and they conquered some of the folks, some of the tribes had taken possession of those lands that they had conquered on the wrong side of the Jordan. So they asked Joshua if they could stay there. In other words, stay in a place that God had not promised was their final destination. Can you imagine that? Moses said, sure, you can come back here, but you are coming with us to fight this battle. The Lord has said all of His people will enter the promised land. And then if you want to come back, you can do that. You can come back with you if that's what you want to do. And that's what 2.5 of the tribes of Israel did. And they were a problem for the rest of history. You see, there was a separation between those that wanted to take possession of what God had promised and those that did not. Over the course of Living Hope Church's history, we have been on a long journey. How many of you have been here for the whole trip? There's a few of us who have been here for this whole trip, friends. And right this minute, right this morning, there are people here that have stayed the course of this journey. Along this journey, there has been, there may have been, a separation being made by God. Because some people said, I like where we're at now. I don't want to be on this journey. But God prepared this journey for Living Hope Church. God did this. God has prepared you. Do you know how your pastor describes you people when I go to pastors' conferences? I tell them I have Gideon's 300. Remember in the Scripture, Gideon had a huge army. And the Lord says, that's too much. When I do the things that would declare my glory, people will think it was because of them. And so He got rid of a whole bunch of them. And there's about 1,000 or 10,000, but about 10,000 left. And so the Lord says, that's too much. Have them drink some water. And there were 300 that drank the water while they observed what was going on. And they kept their arms in their hands. They were prepared to do battle. They were there for the whole journey. And there may be some here today, either sitting here in this sanctuary or watching on the internet, that says, Pastor, I like you and I love everyone here. I know a vision has been cast for our new church home, but actually it's kind of comfortable here in this sanctuary. There's no giants. There's no real battles. We have to mess with the parking lot a little bit. But there's no real effort here to come and worship in this place. I kind of like the way the things are on this side of the Jordan. Guys, God would say, if that's true, that's fine. If you are that happy at that level of your Christian life, that's fine. But listen to me. Living Hope Church has been wandering from wilderness camp to wilderness camp for many, many years. And God, my friends, has a special place prepared for us. Amen. I feel that as clearly as I know that I'm saved. God has a place prepared for Living Hope Church. And we're not going to settle for what we like. We're not going to settle for what's comfortable for us. We are going to step out in faith. We're going to prepare ourselves in the Word of God week in and week out. We're going to declare the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are going to step into the floodwaters in faith that God will take us where He wants us to go.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And God's saying, I have a place prepared for you. You may not have seen it yet, And after so long, you may have a little difficulty imagining where I'm sending you. But God says, I have put my team in place. My vision is cast. And now you are a part of my fight. Why? Because you, Living Hope Church, are members of the army of the Lord. And as members of the army of the Lord, it is not your battle, but it is His battle that gets us to the promised land. Amen. Hallelujah. And friends, I don't know how much of God you may have, but I do know this. Most Christians have all of the God that they want. I want all of Him. I want all of Him. God has a plan for Living Hope, and God has a plan for your life. So why don't we just take God at His word? Let's not settle down here in the wilderness, because God has our Canaan ready. And it's waiting for us right now, right this moment. You know, the book of Ephesians talks about putting on the whole armor of God. Putting on the whole armor of God. The armor of God are things that you wear. They're things that you actually wear like clothes. But not the shield of faith. You see, Scripture says that once we are coated in the armor of God, we are to actually reach down and take up the shield of faith. Take up your shield of faith. So let us prepare ourselves with this bread. This bread right here, the Word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen? And when we read those things, and we read our Bible, we just know certain things instinctively. We know how to get to heaven because John 14, 6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, thus saith Jesus Christ. We know that. We understand that. And then fully prepared, as we are in Joshua 10, in our passages today, fully prepared by the Word, then we take up our shield of faith. A shield that they used to dip in oil. A symbol of the Holy Spirit of God. Strengthened by the honey of God's promises. So that our shield can extinguish the fiery darts of the enemy. And then what? Believe what God has said in Joshua chapter 1, verse 3. If you got your Bibles open, take a look at verse 3 again. If you're there, say amen. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. God has given it to us. Take possession of what God has given. Guys, I seldom talk about this, but I need you to get spiritually ready to do battle with Satan. You need to get ready, because he wants us to stay here comfortable. He wants us to stay right here, happy with our wonderful praise team and band, wonderful with our comfortable sanctuary, getting up at a certain time, coming to church. He wants to do anything he can to keep us right here inside these four walls. But when the children of God take up the armor, when they take up the shield of faith, when they prepare to do battle with Satan, he's going to come. He will do battle. The only reason that Satan doesn't battle with somebody is maybe they're walking in the same direction as him. So when we step out in faith and do the things God has called us to do, get ready. The battle's coming. He's going to shoot darts at you. He's going to shoot darts at me. He's going to try to get us fighting amongst ourselves. He's going to do anything he can to stop Living Hope Church from doing what they've been called to do. Touch Coral Springs with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. So, I want you to understand that you are doing battle when you pray. When you pray, you are doing battle. When you show up on Wednesday nights and support our new preachers who are preparing their hearts for service, you are doing battle. When you visit one of God's people in the hospital, you are doing battle. When you ask, Pastor, what can I do to help? You are doing battle against the evil one. When our prayer team comes and gets in the back room and prays, they are doing battle with Satan. Because at the name of Jesus Christ, he must depart the area. He cannot stand in the light. When we do those things, God steps in and we can know that truly the battle is the Lord, as he says in verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you shall go. In other words, fear not, I am with you. When you go through the fire, when you go through the waters, I am there. And when we step out in faith and we grab Satan by the nose and we kick him in his behind and run him out of God's house, it's no big deal because the Lord is with us. Amen. The Lord is with us. Amen. Satan, you have no power over the people of God. You can cast your darts. You can whisper in people's ear. But if their heart is full of the gospel of Jesus Christ, there's no room for anything else. That's all that there's room for. So follow God's commandments. Be strong. Be not afraid nor dismayed. Prepare yourself with the word, with the bread of His Word. Have faith that God will do what God has said He will do for His people. And make no mistake about it, you are His people.
Amen.
You are His. God has said, you are mine. I have paid a ransom for you. The ransom of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So lift up your eyes. Be of good cheer. The battle is the Lord. He is with us as we go forward in the power of His Word and in the name of Jesus Christ. And He will remain with us if we are obedient to His Word and the calling of His clear directions and commandments. Amen?
Amen.
Give Him praise in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
I got all riled up there. In just a moment, I say right now, as I say each and every week, grace and peace I leave you with from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as our praise team comes, I want to talk once again here.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the Church Link app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.